Hello and welcome to Real Talk Sundays. Please note that the information provided on this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only and should not be considered as financial advice. We are not financial advisors and do not provide personalized investment advice or recommendations. All investments involve risk and you should always do your own research and seek professional advice before making any investment decisions. Any examples or stories shared on this podcast are for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as a guarantee or prediction of future performance. Real Talk Sundays and its hosts, guests, and affiliates are not liable for any financial losses or damages that may result from actions taken based on the information provided on this podcast. Thank you for listening and please enjoy the show.
Because I think the last time I was this intimate with money is that guy snorted coke out of my ass with a C100, you know, C$100 bill. So this is gonna be nice to be on the other on the other side of that. 1, 2, 3, 4. Welcome to Real Talk Sundays, the podcast for the people by the people. And we are here to talk about some things people don't want to talk about. This episode today is about money. More money, more problems, or lack thereof. In fact, I am your host, Amanda. This is my co-host with the most,
Val.
Miss Val. And in order to have a successful conversation about money today, we had to bring in a friend of ours who we've known for quite some time, who knows way more about money than we do.
Way more.
So we're about to get real intimate with finances right now, which is a refresher because I think the last time I was this intimate with money is that guy snorted coke out of my ass with a C100, you know, C$100 bill. So this is going to be nice to be on the other on the other side of that. But this is our guest speaker, Kat. And Kat's here to really help guide us through a lot about our questions, all right? We're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, do's, don'ts, you know, specifically about debt, things along those lines. But Kat, introduce yourself. Take a moment. Tell us a little bit about you.
Hello. Okay. I have been in the finance world for about 7 years. I listen to any and all things about money, and money controls my entire life. So you name it, I've heard it. I've seen it. I've been through a pandemic through money. I've been through presidency changes, you name it. I've seen it all, and oh Lord, sometimes I really question why I do it.
Yeah, and this is her niche. So this is her, you know, her occupation is centered around this. She's, you know, an FO, financial officer. So this is really where we get to just ask a lot of questions specifically around like the debt aspect of it, which is what I specialize in and what my forte is in. So I'm excited to really to open this up. And, you know, we had a lot of main questions going into this, but, you know, this episode today, we're going to actually call this one, Are You Frugal? No, I'm a Scorpio.
Are we allowed to tell that story or not?
I think we are. Oh my gosh, it's actually an actual. That story is actually one of my favorite, fondest memories of you. This is before Kat got into the financial game. We legit, I don't know if we were sober. Most of the time we hung out, we were not.
No.
I don't think we were. But I asked her one time if she was frugal. And that was legit her answer. And not, no, I'm a Scorpio because Scorpios spend money. But no, like, frugal is not an astrological sign. It's fine.
In Vegas.
Shocker.
Most likely.
And like the first time you ever even asked me like a one-on-one question too.
And so we're going to ask her a lot more questions about money. And it's been a better half of a decade. So we'll see how things have changed. But I wanted to open it up really.
Don't let that discredit her. Okay.
Very
fucking
smart.
It was one time.
She got more money than all three of us. I know. Listen,
my 20s, if I could go back, I would do so many things different.
You would research what astral...
what frugal meant, yeah.
That's fine. She'd still be, you know, have more money than us, even if she
money's not everything, Amanda.
It's really not,
it doesn't describe success either.
No. I know. I consider it. I think we're going to discover that when we open up
some
floodgates. When we discover some of it here. But no, I mean, let's kind of open up with a main question. I think we have a lot of, I have a lot of questions just around like the generalities of money. But when it comes to money, let's start talking a little bit about like what roles did money play in your life and like your upbringing? Like what is your kind of some of the earliest memories of how your family talked about money?
We didn't. We literally talked about everything outside of money. I remember there was in junior high, we had a assignment that you would have to go home, ask how much square footage your house was, and then how much your parents bought the house for. And then it was like a group project. And I remember going home and asking my dad, and my dad looked at me like I had literally just asked him the worst question of his entire life. And I was like,
what's your body count, Dad?
And he goes, I'm not telling you that. And I'm like, why? And I'm like, it's for school. And I didn't understand why he didn't like help me. And then I think it's just because he grew up so frugal. Mm-hmm. And very private. You don't talk about your money. You don't talk about how much you make. You don't talk about what's in your account. You don't talk about how nice your house is or like what car you drive. That was a big secret. Mm-hmm. So we didn't talk about that. And it's funny now because I look back at like my entire upbringing, and when my parents got a divorce, I genuinely don't think that my mom knew how much was in their joint accounts. Mm-hmm. And like what my dad brought to the table, what she brought to the table. She literally followed my dad's direction. Like I vividly remember seeing the deposit slips every other Wednesday night. It was on the countertop. My mom would pick that up. Thursday payday, she'd take it to the bank. She would do whatever she was directed on that deposit slip. And then we would go from there. And we lived our life around my dad, and we never talked about money. Uh-huh. Never. But if I wanted something, they said, get a job. And I'm like,
right?
Yeah.
Fuck. That was it. That was my upbringing too. We didn't fucking talk about it. We never talked. And even I think the most we've talked about money has been as of late. Now that I'm in my adulthood, I'm their adult child. And I'm like, yo, what the fuck is about money? Like, help. Because also I'm 32 and I still don't know what the fuck's going on here. And having conversations with my dad was, I mean, a relatively successful entrepreneur. He's owned a business since I can remember. My grandpa was always good at money, but we didn't talk about money. Mm-hmm. My mom, I mean, some of my earliest memories, my mom, we've always been broke. And I've always lived with my mom. So it was just always struggling. It was always struggle. It was always emotional. It was always stress. It was always, we didn't have money. We couldn't do that. We couldn't go there. Mm-hmm. But she worked her ass off to make it so I could play sports, so that I could do things. So I didn't feel the most brunt of it. I felt the social brunt of it, but not how she felt it, you know, going without. But it, I also, generational, my Nana didn't talk about money. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't, even still to this day. It's a very interesting topic. I don't know. What was your upbringing like, though?
Not like that. So it was never a secret or anything like that. And they never told me to go get a job when I asked for something. I didn't get a job till I was 18 and out of high school and college. So I just don't relate to that, I guess. Oh, but
did you guys have like family meetings? Or did you guys have like family meetings where you'd be like, all right, so we're saving up for our family trip, or our family trip this year is
collecting the coins.
Yes.
Pass around communion.
Really, it's hard. I don't really recall because it was just sports city. Yeah. I mean, I never had a free weekend.
Games,
so
they
would say,
I guess
that, we have to figure this out to pay for travel ball, because travel ball is very expensive. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some Instagram things about that. They're like, how much travel ball costs? Mm-hmm. It was thousands. And so my dad will still say, do you remember how much we spent on your travel ball? And this is, you know, almost 20 years later.
With inflation,
at this point,
that's at least $30,000.
It's insane. So, I mean, they made it happen, but my mom provided when my sister was born. So, I don't know. It was never, like, taboo in my house, though. I don't even remember. I don't think I really cared, to be honest, either. I never asked, are we good with money? Like, can I get this? They're like, yeah. Like, it was never like, no. Like, we're broke.
Live fast, die last.
Yeah.
I'm going.
But we were not wealthy by any means, you know, just right there.
Yeah.
So.
But, I mean, it just kind of brings it right into the other one. I mean, for I think a majority of people, and a lot of people that I've talked to about money, that's kind of been the vibe, is either they were open conversations, very lax and comfortable, or it's exact antithesis of that, which is we don't talk about money. We don't talk about Bruno.
Oh,
and why, like,
you have kids.
I know, I do. Who I don't want to not talk about money with, you know what I'm saying? But like, why is money so taboo? Where did that come from?
I know. Well, my opinion is because it's ultimately ego, just how you related money to success. Your parents don't want to say, oh no, I only make $30,000 a year and this is where I'm at, because it's their ego and their pride that doesn't want you to know what they make. My mom would not tell me what she made.
My mom,
so I lied.
Still,
I know
the
now,
game my mom fucking
now,
plays with money.
But
dude,
she wouldn't tell me before, but I do know now. Me and my mom are very open with finances at this point, but
She didn't want me to know. Mm-hmm. I had an idea, but she didn't. I know now. So, but it is a hit to your ego because we had a talk of, well, you just got a raise now. I'm not going to say what she said, but like it hit her like, no, that's not how it should be. Mm-hmm. Like it's your ego and your pride that you should make more or, you know, mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
But I also think society makes that.
Yeah.
And it's like you need to have the biggest house, the fast cars, the jewelry, the clothes, the nails, yeah, the hair. Keep it up with the Joneses. Yes, uh-huh. And that's when people overextend themselves.
Mm-hmm. I want that.
Well, we all do.
Not everybody does. There's right. minimalists.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, that sounds but honestly like
Mo don't Pro. Tell me you don't want a fucking Birkin bag if someone handed it to you.
That's it. I think for a while, for a minute there, when we're not Birkin, I'm good.
No, I just made that up. Okay.
But like, remember when we did talk about that? Kind of when I was in the sales height, when I was like, all I can picture right now is owning a big ass mansion and all my friends lived in, and I was outside at a pool. Well, I knew the exact outfit. But then you had
kids, so we can't do that now.
The exact outfit. The fuck you can't, but I'm just saying, like, I did have a dream where I wanted to, yeah, I wanted a very big house. I wanted to make sure that everybody I knew didn't have to fucking worry about it. But I think for taboo for my family was, I almost felt like on my mom's side, it was the lack thereof, like the embarrassment on the amount of debt we were in that she did not know what she was doing, but she was doing the best she fucking could. It was a blind leading the blind. I don't know how well my nana knew about money, but later in life finding out, it wasn't much. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, my dad's side of it, just him really, honestly, not even considering that being something he should have taught me, something I should know or like through osmosis or some shit, or should ask better questions or, you know, but I'm making money since I could have a job, since I could hold down a job, and nobody talked about it. And I didn't know if it was, yeah, if it was a pride thing or if it, yeah, definitely ego, but we were poor. So it wasn't even a matter of like, I knew that they should be making more, should be working harder or any of that. But like, it was a matter of, I don't think ever wanting to admit to ourselves that like, we did not afford any of it. We couldn't afford any of this. But like, she did such a good job, I feel like, my mom, of hiding that because she was so resourceful. But I'm talking like, making your Halloween costumes. Like, I can't remember a year my mom didn't make our Halloween costumes or do our own makeup, do my own hair for a lot of things, hand make invitations for things like that, make my own birthday cakes. Like, always just cutting different ways, making different foods, so we didn't have the opportunity to feel poor, but we so were. So I'm looking back at pictures too. I was like, oh, damn, we weren't white trash, but we were close.
Yeah, I was going to say, you weren't like that low on the
weren't. My mom grew up way poor. She's like, honey,
your mom did. Aw,
you don't even know what poor is. And then my nana's like, y'all don't even know what poor is.
Yeah,
a Mexico poor bitch. That's not even on the scale of, you know, if you're poor.
Saving every country crock.
Yeah,
like butter Tupperware.
Oh, fuck. Oh my god. But yeah, so I think that was a big one. But yeah, and I think it's a cultural norm too to just not talk about it. And honestly, I not to be all crazy about it, but I do think it trickles down a lot from our government too. They hide a lot about money education, because that is what gets them more money. You know, I mean, fees I paid in overdraft. Okay, the overdraft fees alone, just they profit off of our mistakes or lack of knowledge. So that's why we're not getting taught it. That's why not a lot of us know. It's the blind leading the blind for a lot of benefit. But you know, when it comes to the imbalance too, you got to think of the history of money. There's an imbalance socially when it comes to the sexes. Like, even finishing a book where the narrative was, a lot of times men or boys are taught to spend aggressively, invest aggressively, make sure that you're putting your money in a lot of places, a million ways to make a dollar. Whereas women are often given the narrative to protect their money, to conserve their money, to not be so, you know, radical with it, to save it, to be conservative with it. And when they do spend it, to make sure that they're thinking about where they're spending it, and to not do too much or not spend it on a lot of the pink stuff. You know what I'm saying? The makeup, the hair, the things that are going to make you, you know, socially acceptable. So I think that's a lot. But when it comes to even the history of money with women, like, we weren't even allowed to be on loans till 1974, which is like a hop, skip, and a jump. Like, when it comes to, you know, a lot of our money and what we're spending, a lot of our grandmas and our grandma's grandmas, we weren't even allowed to have our own money. So no wonder it's, you know, we're here at what, third generation out, like, fuck, we're now just learning. And so it's empowering. And also to think about too, And, you know, I'm reading this, just finished this book, which I'm like on the fence of, just because I was talking to my stepsister about it and the author, it could go either way, but We Should All Be Millionaires by Rachel Rogers. And she makes a quote in there basically saying like, look at, oh, the last 200 some odd years and what all these white men have done with their money, okay? They've literally stepped on every throat to get there, have had every advantage to spend their money, and look what they're doing with it. We've only had equal opportunity with our money the last like 50, 60 years. Look what we're doing with it. Mm-hmm. We got female millionaires. We got people who are real women who are really trying to make a difference out there, because when we win, everyone in our social circle wins. We bring up the community. We bring up each other. We do a lot more with it. But yeah, I think it was just interesting looking at the perspective of like how your dad handled money versus how your mom handled money. My parents were divorced too, like before I was 1 year old. So all I knew were completely separate households and completely separate money. And especially when you're trying to get shit paid for, where you have child support now is in the balance, and you're just like, oh my God, I just want to know if I can get new cleats. I don't want to fucking ask dad. Can we just figure this out, please? Like, I just want to know if I can get new cleats. But yeah, ultimately, I think as you grow up to it and you start to step into your own, like, when did you first get your first job? Like, how old were you?
Oh, I was 14. 14. And I made $5.15 an hour.
When I was 14.
Yeah. I got a 10-cent raise once, and I thought I was living.
This change your life money. Oh,
I went straight to Hollister and bought myself a polo.
I bought myself a $75 polo.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude. No, I've been mowing lawn since like 11. Yeah. I've been cashing checks since probably about 14, 15. Mm-hmm. But I've always worked with my dad. I've always got money. Yeah. And that was my biggest thing, is like, where the fuck did all that money go?
Mm-hmm. We spent it.
Where? On what? I was fucking 14 on food.
Yeah.
Spent it on food and cleats. Mm-hmm. You said 18? What was your first job?
Working at the movie theater in California.
Oh, that's right. I knew that about you. Mm-hmm. What was your first job?
I was a scrub tech at a dentist office.
Hey. Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, my mom got me the job. It was at her dentist office.
Thanks, and so I'm like, mom.
That's why you have such amazing teeth.
That too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Started early.
I mean, she didn't let me have sugar growing up, so that's probably why.
Also, thanks.
But that just shows you, though, I was 18 when I got my first job, and I made $7.25. Mm-hmm. And how old are you?
You guys got paid?
No, I'm just saying, like, would be like,
yeah. People are still getting paid $7.
That's what I'm saying, and that was in California, and right now here in Idaho, the minimum wage is $7.25.
Yeah,
I can't even remember what my dad fucking paid me, but I'm sure it was not a lot. Fucking now that I think back, I'm like, that son of a bitch. But I mean, moving, I think, right along into the questions that we have specifically for Kat. So a lot of her expertise lies in, you know, more on the debt side. So how to consolidate debt, you know, credit card debt and things, how to get out of it, how to manage your money better. So these are all things that I'm like, what is that? But ultimately, I wanted to ask, like, what do you get asked the most in your position, like on the regular?
Well, I think the number one question is always how to get out of debt. And I think, before I go into all of this, everybody is probably worse off than you think that they are. Like, because people don't talk about money. They hide their finances. They don't tell anybody because you want to live this lavish life, but you don't want to tell people that you're maxing out your credit cards every month. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a lot of people live like paycheck to paycheck, but it's just how to pay off debt. And you can, I mean, there's so many ways that you can pay off debt. You just have to, like, really work at it. So, like, the best way is to do a debt consolidation loan. And I'm not talking going to freaking Money Tree and getting a 30, 40% loan. Don't ever do that. I will literally kick you guys in the shin if you do that, because you're going to just be digging yourself a bigger hole. Like, go to a bank or a credit union and see if you can do like any type of consolidation loan, because there's so many different avenues before going to those Money Trees or whatever services that you see on television, because they're gonna kill you in the interest and you're never gonna get out of it. But I think, like, putting your vehicles up for collateral, that there's no shame in that. If you have equity in your vehicle and you have, maybe you own your title or you own your vehicle and you have a title, put that up as collateral, pay off your debt, because I don't think people understand, like, how much debt they have affects your credit. And cash is not king anymore. It's all about credit. Everything, you have to have credit. You want to, you're 18, you want to move out, gotta have credit. Mm-hmm. You won't get an apartment without credit. You want to get a car, you need credit. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't have credit, you got to find somebody that has credit. And if you don't have anybody that has credit, you're going to be going to a small dealership and spending way more on interest because they're gonna screw you over.
And usually you need it.
And yes, uh-huh. And you're desperate.
Yeah.
And people do desperate things for wild things when they're desperate. Mm-hmm. And so it's a big bummer to watch it. But, I mean, just really budget yourself and get yourself out of debt and do everything that you can. People always ask me, like, how to build credit and how to repair credit. But to build credit, there's secured loans that you can do. Give somebody the money and they'll give you a credit card. They'll give you an auto loan. Like, save up your money by the time that you're 18. On your birthday, go celebrate it at a bank and get a loan and, like, you know, be proud about that. And then that way you're going to start building credit. But the moment you start tanking your credit, then it's going to be harder work than building it, because you can miss one payment and you're SOL. You're mm-hmm. literally, that's going to tank your credit, and that's just going to go down.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bitch, still doing that. Okay, let's not play.
But yeah, and so it's just really hard. And I think that a lot of people, they'll overextend themselves, and then they'll have all of this credit card debt, and then they just stop paying it, and then it goes to collections. Mm-hmm. And that's another beast in itself. And yeah. People have collections.
And they're done that.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Or even playing the game like, all right,
yeah,
it's in collections. I'm going to sit on it for a while because they're going to sell my debt to pennies on the dollar to the next company, the next company. And I'm going to catch it 3 or 4 companies down the road. And then mm-hmm. I'm going to call them and say, yeah, sure, I will agree to settle for you to wipe this. So, you know, and then we'll negotiate on that. Mm-hmm. But the odds of you following through on that, for one, and then the collateral damage that happens while you're waiting out, mm-hmm. you know, you still got stuff to do with your life, and you got money moves to make, and you just can't make them. But, mm-hmm. oh, absolutely, you're swimming in that. And that's the thing growing up. A lot of the finance, I didn't really take a lot of finance. I didn't take a class till college. And even then it was just to cross it off, just to get a credit, because I had to.
Yeah.
And I didn't really learn about basically all the things that go into credit when I had my first big girl job. And a bank came and we had a lunch and learn. Mm-hmm. They bought us all lunch and they sat down. They wanted us to bank with them ultimately, but they finally taught us about, I still have the fucking handout mm-hmm. in my desk, because I've never had it been explained to me. All right, here are the quadrants that we're looking at, what credit is made of, what it consists mm-hmm. of, how you can build it, how you can make it better. And so that's, I think, another big one is, like, you're saying 18 years old, you should have this established. Mm-hmm. Bitch, I was 24, 25 when I got mm-hmm. taught credit, and I'm paying everything cash. Well, I was paying everything mm-hmm. cash. I had a checking account. That's what I had.
Mm-hmm.
And that was after I had overdrafted 4 other banks and had to pay those guys mm-hmm. off to get a checking account and move forward in my life. But, so I think, yeah, for people with kids or people who want to make the next generation of them better, you know, what are, I guess, some words of wisdom you would say, or things you should teach your kid? Because I have heard of some parents taking out credit cards in their kid's name
mm-hmm. yeah.
and establishing credit that way. But then when you turn this kid loose, mm-hmm. it's now, you know, if you haven't done the due diligence on educating them, mm-hmm. now we have somebody with good credit out in the wild. Like, that's scary.
That was me.
Yeah.
The moment I turned 18, you guys, I had a credit card and had no idea about it. My dad went and got me a credit card and he used it every single month. And I think, I don't know if I had an auto loan or whatnot, but I had all of these things underneath my name that I had no idea, but he was making those monthly payments because he was building my credit. Mm-hmm. And I owe everything to him.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It can
so
go the complete
great.
Opposite way too. People can get take out.
Do it all. Mm-hmm.
Not my cousin.
But I think just like with him, he taught me so much and I would roll my eyes. Oh my gosh. I would roll my eyes and be like, yeah, Dad, I get it. But I mean, when Sasha and I had our scooters, I got that all by myself because I had so much credit and I had no idea.
Damn.
I remember one time my dad was like, just go fill up your tank. I'll buy it for you. And I was like, well, how? Like, I just barely got a debit card when I moved to college. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why? And he's like, that gold card that's in your wallet, that's a credit card. And I'm like, oh shit, what?
It's gold.
It's free money. But he had to teach me all of that. So I was like in the wild with all of this great credit. But then I also had to like learn about it and he had to teach me. And I mean, some of the stuff I took it, but some of it went right in my ear and out the other because I didn't want to believe it. I wanted to go and I wanted to buy like cool things. I wanted to go to Vegas. I wanted to travel. Mm-hmm. But I think just like with kids, instilling that saving is a priority. Get them a piggy bank that they cannot break open and that they can't get the dollars that are in there. Their birthdays roll around and grandparents write them checks. Go cash it, put it in that piggy bank. Put it in somewhere where you're not going to be able to grab it, because that's going to save them for the future too, whether they decide to go to college or they want to buy a car or they want to invest in a company or do whatever they want when they're 18. They're going to have that money there, and it's a priority to them to save, and it's like a natural habit of their life. Okay, I get paid. Here's 20% goes to my savings. The rest goes into my checking account and whatever else bills that I have. Mm-hmm. But you have to start with them little. Because if they don't know, then they're just going to go out there and they're not going to – they're going to trial by error and they're going to fail. So I think it's just getting them that that piggy bank. Don't break it open. I mean, eventually if you can, like, trust it, put it into an account where you're not going to grab money from it, put it in something that's a little bit more high yield so that you're going to get the interest on it so it can grow as, like, the child grows. But, I mean, just don't spend it. But show them the importance of of saving.
And like as a parent, I guess, who struggles with that. So, I mean, that's the thing too, right? You're trying to break your own – this is parenting in a nutshell. You're trying to break your own trauma while not causing trauma to them while making sure they're better than you are growing up. Yeah. So that's, I think, the hardest part, because like you're putting all their money away into a piggy bank, right? And then shit hits the fan. And we're like, shit, we need groceries.
Yep.
We can't do that. What can we do? What can we do? What can we do? Well, we'll put it back. We'll replenish it. It's okay. We'll replenish it. And your habits, your trauma now trickle into the, you know, the lesson learned or teaching them how to save. So I think that's a big one for the parents. Is there any, like, if, you know, because a lot of times young adults, I mean, myself included, very embarrassed about this. And like growing up, I think that was a big one where I had money management just because I was making so much fucking money and I had very little debt. So I could make very big mistakes and I wasn't impaired because I made so much money and it was going to be replenished in 2 weeks anyways. When I got, you know, and then I would get once a month, I would get commission checks and those solved those fixed my life. And so I think as, you know, as that started to fade away and career paths change and we're going from job to job and life happens and you start to now really get back into your old habits and those really those broke-minded habits where you're just broke as fuck and you're just trying to survive at this and you're down in that pit and you don't want to talk to anybody about it. Like what's a baby step for those who are super embarrassed about it, who are not quite ready for a financial advisor, or like that first step? Is there like online courses or a book to read or a person to go if you do walk into a credit union or a bank and say, hey, can I speak to so-and-so counselor? And they can basically say, all right, here's your homework. You need to get your ducks in a row. Come back. We'll have an hour meeting and talk about it.
I think it's just more of the less, don't be embarrassed. Like, do not be embarrassed, because what I see on a day-to-day basis, I have seen somebody at their lowest of lows in the negative by so much money. And then I've seen the people that are have buku money. It don't be embarrassed, because every single person has their own like thought process of money, and you're not the only one that's walking around thinking, okay, well, I don't know. I just don't be embarrassed. Go in, talk to somebody. And especially at like a bank or a credit union, you can go in and talk to them about how to like better like set yourself up for the future. Because I remember one time I was doing a loan for somebody and I declined them. I literally sent them out the door and I said, I can't give you a loan because you don't have great credit. Your debt to income ratios are way too high. I gave them an entire list of homework to do. And I said, you need to pay off these collections. You need to do X, Y, and Z. 2 years later, I was at the same location, and they come walking in and they're wanting a cashier's check to go to a title company because they purchased a home. And they, you just have to do the homework that somebody gives you and like fall true with it and just keep going with it, even though it's going to be harder some months, but just keep doing it. And if you can't, like hold up the obligations for 1 month, then make it up the next month and really just stick to a budget. I think that's what it is sticking to a budget so that you get into a place where you don't feel as embarrassed, and then you can go and talk to somebody. Dave Ramsey, I roll my eyes when I hear his name, but that he knows his shit. He does. And I think he's a really great tool. And I think you can just honestly like Google what he does. And he talks about cash. And I do believe a lot of the stuff that he teaches is great. I really do. But I also feel like you still need credit, and he believes that you shouldn't have credit. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And to me, cash is not king. You need credit. So I think just following what he does, but then still getting a credit card and having positive pay history, get a credit card, one tank of gas, paid off every single month. You're going to see positive pay history. You're not seeing like a high usage of your credit card. That's going to help you while you're like following his rules and doing the snowball effect of saving your money, and then it rolls over into the next month. But he's he knows his things.
Yeah, I remember my first I think that's the best thing my ex CEO probably gave me. It was when I really started getting into sales, and he saw me making a lot of money, and he was like, I'm gonna teach you something real fast. Like when you start to make money, you start to make decisions like you got money. You really don't have that much money. You're just getting a few checks. And so he gave me Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. And I remember reading that, and there was a lot of things where I'm like, I still have it on my shelf. I have Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I have a sequel to that. I even started, there was even a bunch of quick starts when it came to money. I was never really good on the investment side. And that's when I say I really capitalized. And that's actually what helped me pave the road for being able to buy my house so quickly. I didn't have that much to my name. I really didn't. But my income to debt was outstanding, and I didn't even have a credit card at the time. But at the time, again, I was making so much money, and I didn't have that much going on, that much activity. But when it came to now, we have all of this hitting us at once. We got kids, we got all this other additional stuff that we're not remembering we need to pay for. Insurances, life insurance, car insurance, all the insurances, and now we got bills, we got medical bills, and all the stuff that starts to stack on you. If you do not have those base foundations of savings, which I did not, and discipline on savings, which I did not, you fall back to the habits that you, when you were under pressure. And immediately it was scarcity mentality. It was, how do you even have savings? Like, what? How can you put 20% of this away? We're paycheck to paycheck. And so I think that's the hard one, is like, educating yourself, but the follow through. And I even remember you and I went through this stingent on the Budget Mom, which I still follow her. Love the Budget Mom.
I've heard good things about
her.
I've
never. She's a little anal.
She got us through some things, to be honest.
Wait, did she have like a notepad or something? Like a book?
Yes, a book. I remember this. Each other.
And this, and I printed out fucking three hole punched all that shit, made you a binder, me a binder, my mom a binder. I made everybody I loved a binder.
But seriously, that thing, because we're going to be honest, and I'm open, I'm not scared to say it. We would fucking overdraft, and we're like, dude, we're going to have to get another bank. Like, we'd literally collaborate of like, what bank are you at right now? Like, you know? And so just how far, I mean, for myself, how far I have come since then is insane. And it's just like, she saved us, really, like on how to know what we have. We had the cash envelopes. We were like, oh, yeah, this is for groceries. It's fine.
And this was pre-COVID, where she was really a very cash-based system as well. But she wasn't, you know, she wasn't dumb about it. She definitely gave you hints on that. And so, I mean, I highly recommend her, you know, TBH, the money.
Never had a savings account with that, but it stopped us from living from paycheck to paycheck.
And take a temperature of where we're at. And she gave us a step-by-step. So that was the big thing where I was like, well, where the fuck do I start? And when I found her and I went to her Instagram and then to her website, she had a landing page at the time. And now she girl can market herself. It was step-by-step. All right, you're going to go pull your bank statements.
That's where we're going to start. That is the worst.
Go get you a pack of highlighters and your bank statements.
What do you think we spent the most money on?
Oh, food.
Food.
It's always food, you guys. Always food.
Just food.
Yes. Food. Yes.
Oh, you want to go out to eat?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do.
You want to go drink? Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And I'd like to mention, too, what you were ordering on top of the alcohol. Food. Man, we spent so much fucking money.
I like to eat out.
I like to eat out. I like quality time.
I like sushi. You go to sushi, you're like 50 bucks deep at least with how much we order. Don't judge us. But
like those little tempura rolls. Okay. That's the biggest one is like.
Do you want a tequila shot with that?
Yeah, of course. So that's the biggest thing, guys. I recommend the Budget, you know, the Budget Mom, especially for those of, you know, 101 or young kids too, or I don't, you know, the demographic listening to this. I don't know where you're at financially. You're probably like, damn, that's fucking 101.
Child's play, yeah.
Sometimes you got to revisit but 101.
Like the Budget Mom, it's aesthetically pleasing.
It really is. It kind of gives you that scrapbooking itch.
Yeah, it's like you're into it.
You know, like, do all that. But also,
so that's why I was
great way to bring your kids in on it too. Yeah. Like, I think that was probably the easiest one is, you know, she, at the time she had a really young son and watching watching him grow up too, and how mm-hmm. she manages her money with him. And there was a lot too. It feeds right into meal prep and planning. It feeds into subscription. So it was just a really great way. And she gives you these cute little sheets, you know, and then every time you would save, she'd make it fun. You get a color, you know, you get a color, the ladder. So it was really, you know, a great way to scrapbook your way to financial freedom. And when we did that, it was like a solid year. And I even bought you like the books when she came out with them. We graduated to those. Those were probably the most, that was like the most successful year I think I ever had as far as making sure everything was paid on time, paid up, paid out. And I didn't stress as much. I felt really confident with my money game. But as soon as you stay off of that, it's like you miss 1 month and then 2 months and you're like, shit, where am I? Oh my God, did I really spend that much last month? Oh my God, I did that. That's a $30 late fee. Fuck. That was the $30 towards the savings. Like, shit, there it goes. And you don't realize how much money you're losing paying on, you know, paying late or not subscribing to auto pay if you can save $5, like your phone bill. But I think, you know, as far as like advice goes, you know, what's a specific, if you can think of specifically for women, but young adults, adults, like what's the best thing people can be doing for their financial future to make sure they, you know, secure a good one?
Save. I think you can't rely on your retirement or Social Security that's going to come in. If you think about it in the grand scheme of thing, when you retire, 60% of that is your savings. 40% is your Social Security or your retirement. Like you have to save, 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 save. Because if you don't, then you're going to be living on a fixed income and it's going to be a tight fixed income. And you have no idea what's going to be happening tomorrow, let alone when we are coming time to retire. Save. Save. Put your money in high yield accounts that have higher interest. Put it in CDs. Put it, I don't know much about like the stocks and whatnot. Sometimes when I'm talking to my financial advisor, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I know finances, but like what? And watch your money grow, because the more that you watch your money grow, the more momentum you're going to get, and it's going to hype you up, and you're going to be like, hell yeah, let me put an extra $100 towards this so I can get another $5 next month based off of interest. But put your money where it's going to grow. Let your money work for you. Don't work for your money.
All my mind's thinking right now is with Social Security, I'm not going to be alive by the time I get that. So why would I save?
Even right now, I see people's Social Security coming through and I'm like, holy crap, how are you living off of $800 a month?
Bro.
In this market, in this economy, not possible.
That's what I spend on
That's all people with disabilities get.
That's literally people's car payments.
Yeah, I know. People that have developmental disabilities, they get $800
a month.
It's fucking nuts.
And they have to pay rent in the rental game.
How?
Like, it just doesn't make sense. And that's crazy, too.
I'm a payee of them, so I know what they have to pay.
And people are literally in a revolt in another country right now over this, about them increasing the age of retirement. It's like, so now we have to work till we fucking die. Literally. And over here in America, they just upped it when we're like, nah, that sucks. Well, we were going to die anyways. I literally remember, and that's how I feel, too. Like, my grandpa and how I feel my dad and even my parents, like, they're going to work till they die. And that's really sad. And you know, the thing is that my dad works a lot right now. He's always, always side hustles. He's always got side hustles going. And I hope he does get the chance to truly retire. I hope my mom does too. She's like, 4 more years. Three more years. You know, she's been working the same way for so long. But like at the end of the day, that's a really hard mentality, especially for me, somebody who's really trying to flip it on its head. But then you come with the criticism with that, right? Where it's like the most important thing is to save. And I'm over here like, most important thing is to live.
I'm literally on that. Like you are, I'd say you're like, I'd say Kat's here, I'm here, and you're here. But
this
like,
is a full
I'm,
spectrum right now.
Yeah, but I'm like going more towards you lately. And I don't know what it is, if it's old age. I don't know, but I'm like, life is short. But it's because I've been through some shit, you know, the past year where I'm like, life is short. I don't need a savings account. Like, I make enough to pay everything, and I'm going to go out and do whatever I want. I'm going to go to Vegas. I'm going to go wherever. Hopefully Italy one day if I can get a passport. But
you can get over your fear of flying. Yeah, sure. Passport first.
But anyways, I'm just saying, like, I fully, and my parents can't handle when I say that, but I fully believe that. And I know Frank over here doesn't feel that way either, but
Frank's,
I mean,
money, man.
He wants to live life and
Frank's
have money,
money
but
man.
What I'm saying is I'm just not into it.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds great, and I don't even know what a high yield account is, and I would love to talk to you about that after.
I'll write this down.
But
I'm like, I'm Okay, and that's the thing too, is like I'm familiar with all. I'm like, yeah, compound interest, absolutely.
Yeah.
I still don't want to fucking play the game of chess. Oh, I don't. That's what that was. You know what it is too? Okay. Is like I remember when I was making a lot of money and we had a lot of fun. I had a great time and I never had to worry about it. And I loved throwing that around. I loved covering people and helping people out and all that shit. And I also look at some of the memories where I am like the brokest right now. And some of the happiest memories I remember, I didn't have a fucking dollar in my pocket.
Yeah.
And I was the happiest I'd ever been in my fucking life. Mm-hmm. Like on several different occasions, I remember just being like, fuck. I literally remember being on Black's Beach with a friend, a former friend, being like, I don't know how the fuck I'm going to get home. Mm-hmm. But this is the best goddamn day.
Don't worry, I'll just ride home with a guy and his kid.
Absolutely. The sun's out. I'm on a new beach. I'm eating fish tacos I didn't have to buy. Like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm 22. Look at me. Like, I didn't have any money. I was sleeping on couch. Like, it was the best time I ever had in my whole life. And then I think about all the times where I had a lot of fucking money, and it's almost like it didn't compare. So that's the hard mm-hmm. part is I go back and forth. And then with the I really do struggle, I mean, with that self-preservation, you know, of I don't know if we're promised tomorrow. So I'd love mm-hmm. to spend it today because today is – I'm living it right now. It's guaranteed tomorrow. I don't know what the fuck's
going
to happen.
The world's getting weird. I'm just like, you know, weird. Oh my gosh.
I try not to get in my head about it, but world's getting fucking weird right now.
But I do also believe that you should, like, splurge on things. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to splurge on a Birkin. But I mean,
I was just coming up with something, but you know,
I mean, but yeah, but if you asked me, assets, if Taylor like, Swift, I'm gonna drop $1,400 on a ticket. You bet your ass, I'm going to.
And you know why?
Right out my savings.
She has a savings yep. account. She's gonna pull it out of her savings account, and we're gonna be like, what credit card did I make that go on?
Okay, you have a yard sale.
You made a lot of money on that yard sale.
I fucking
sale,
did, dude. I'm a yard sale away. Let me tell you. But I think when
marketplace,
it
sell your crap on there. You know how for much sure, money like, you can make?
It's too much work. I don't like Facebook. It's a lot of work. I don't like any of that.
I have an entire.
Here's what I'm hearing is we don't like the work.
We don't like the work. There it is. That's also probably why we're not fit as fuck.
Amen. Whatever. I've been going to a trainer, but I can't stop eating.
It's that commitment. It's like you're like, just stick to the commitment, stick to the plan, stick to the. I'm like.
Too much work.
That's where you got
discipline.
Me.
We don't have discipline in our lives. That's what it is.
Which,
okay.
I mean, there's a sad quote to that. That's a direct reflection on like what you feel you deserve kind of vibes. We won't get there, but we'll talk about that on a higher self.
Then
episode.
How are we so cocky if we don't feel we deserve?
That's different.
So we need like a counselor. Okay.
Yeah, well, I have one. Oh. But yeah, no, I talk to my counselor a lot about my issues with money. I have issues with money. I'm call the fucking popo. I'm abusive. Damn near. Like, I just
literally
don't.
Was like,
money
oh, sorry.
Is the biggest part of people's problems. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest part of people's problem. In this economy, in this world, everything's money. Mm-hmm. I feel like now I see on social media platforms, if you want to watch somebody's live, you have to pay a monthly prescription to like watch it. Mm-hmm. Hell no. Mm-hmm. I'll watch your stuff for free.
I
ain't paying for that.
Wait, so you're not going to subscribe to Real Talk Sundays?
This will be the only free. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, do you want to invest in Real Talk Sundays?
This is an asset. Okay. I don't know what
we're an LLC.
Right.
I don't know if you know that.
Oh,
we're an LLC. Okay. Us
which
three.
Is another one. Like, I mean, as far as
yeah,
that
how
goes.
Do we do that? How do we?
What are we doing, Kat? We don't know. What we're
you guys got to open up a bank account. Do you got one?
Not yet. No.
We can just, we come just to your bank?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You got to get an EIN number, though. I'll help
we
you.
Have.
Wait,
yeah,
we have. We're okay. on that. Boom, we're just playing dumb. We
I
did
have
all
owned
that.
A business for it. It just didn't do well. That's all I'm saying. Because I understood that, too. And that's the thing. My dad, I fucking took over the business for my dad. And he literally was like, there you go. And I was like, what do I do?
You tried so hard. I'll give you that. You tried
hard,
so
dude.
Hard,
oh
honestly.
God.
I was watching you like.
Sending me to the bottom of the ocean with some bucket.
That was your one
gear.
Of your. That was one of your unhappiest money financial times. Was
miserable, yeah. Dude. Making stupid ass choices. But I will say one thing I did right was my deductibles. I was like, I'm going to save anything I could possibly use for this business, I'm going to do. And that's one thing I did do right. And thank God I did because it saved my ass on taxes. Mm-hmm. And because I just heard through the grapevine, entities are why individuals pay so much in taxes is because they can't write off everyday uses towards a goal. So I was like, all right, we start a business. And we move towards that. And we write everything off. And, all right, let's go that way. So how can we do, okay, portion of our mortgage, our cell phone bills.
Mm-hmm. Cars.
Cars.
Traveling.
Yeah. Our printer paper, everything. Everything I could think of. And then, yeah, so it kind of went from there. But, I mean, as far as, you know, getting the debt side of things, and we'll kind of cruise into more of the Thanks Mom or Dad segment here after this. But like when it comes to our student loans and some of these big debts that we have, and kind mm-hmm. of just the way the temperature, the economy is going right now, with the holding pattern, I don't even know what's going on with my student loan right now. I get emails and I'm like, all right, what's going on?
It's paused. It's like frozen. But you can still pay on that student loan. But I choose not to.
It's interest free right now. Yeah. In deferment, I think, is what's going on.
And so they're like, yeah, definitely pay it off.
But like, do I have to?
I mean, you should.
But it's $30,000. I'm never going to pay that off. I mean, I could, but I don't want to, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But do I need to make it a priority?
I mean, yes.
I have a house already.
I know, but you could refinance your house and pay off your
So I already refinanced my house and I didn't use it for anything good.
I remember you told me what you bought.
I did experiences.
You lived life.
What else did I do? Honestly, I can't
remember. You could
never
cash out those memories.
I could refinance again and pay it off. Oh, sure. I could do that. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. That's the equity of your home.
But... Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a lot of
Yeah, but
lot
it's like nothing. I have like, this house is so cheap. I could do that.
You could. And especially with like the market these days. But you also, interest rates are really high right now. Yeah, you're looking at like 6% is
like
the
minimum.
Like
I said, I'll wait a few years until they decide what they're going to do with student loans and go from there. Wouldn't that but suck maybe... if you paid your student loans off and they go,
forgiven.
We're not going to have you pay that anymore. I would be pissed. Yeah. That's why I'm holding off for a good like 5 years, I think.
I get upset when I think about my student loans because like I feel like I really got bamboozled. Like it just was for me something. I got a full ride scholarship to a 2-year, okay, to a 2-year community college. I got a
that's
dual.
Nothing.
It's nothing. That's chump change. I got a dual scholarship. I didn't have to pay for shit. Yeah. I did have to pay for housing. My mom couldn't afford housing. So she says you need to fill out this FAFSA form. We PO. They're going to give you money. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, they did. But you should not be handing somebody, an 18-year-old who doesn't know anything about money. Mm-hmm. It was getting $3,700 checks every, every 3 months or so, every quarter. And I think the hard part was, what the fuck did I do with that money? I don't even want to talk about what I did with that money. But I did not spend it the way I was supposed to be spending it. Still to this day, I have student loan debt because of that. For a 2-year full ride because I was uneducated when it came to money.
Yeah, not a 4-year college. You didn't get your degree.
I didn't get any fucking shit. And I still have over $7,000 still. Mm-hmm. I've been paying off over $15,000 in student loan debt for an Associates of Arts I didn't get on a full ride to a CC.
Oh, you don't have
AA.
Goddamn.
Bro, dope.
But don't worry.
Bro.
We know the polygrathm theory.
What do we?
I don't.
No.
But, I mean, that's what they teach you in school.
A squared plus B squared, C squared, is that it?
I really don't
know. The answer's C.
I don't even know if I said the word
was
right.
Was this geometry? Because I didn't pass geometry.
Bro, this
but
is
it's
what
like,
I'm saying.
They need to teach it. So we need to go into schools in elementary, junior high, and high school. We need to teach people about credit because we need to – they need to understand it for when they go off into the real world. If their parents don't know, then at least they have like a background of it. And
I think that's the hard part.
We need to restructure it and understand people don't even know how to write a check. Literally, I had a 21-year-old at my desk and I was like, just write this check. And she goes, what do I do? And I'm like, what do you mean? What do you do? And she's like, well, where do I write it? And I'm like,
which brings us to our segment.
What? It blows my mind.
Yeah, bro. You're being real judgy right now.
I'm not being judgy. I'm just like, because we know how to write a check.
I did not know how to write a check.
This segment's called Thanks, Mom or Dad. You know, up to you. No, we left those out, but no, we'll kick it off. These are things that we politely blame our parents for, specifically when it comes to the fiscal disadvantages that we had, things we had to learn. Why don't you kick us off, Val? What was your thanks, Mom?
I did not know how to write a check, but... when I was thinking about it, didn't they teach you how to write checks in high school? Well, I couldn't remember since then anyway. So when I had to write a check somehow, who knows when, I did not know all the things.
I remember the writing part.
I didn't even know.
I don't remember the
balancing
part.
I didn't know how you had to sign the check. Didn't know that. They're like, you have to sign it. Mm-hmm. Oh.
I do remember that.
That was my favorite part.
Well, it's easy. Yeah. You know how to write the date. I remember write a date.
I like spilling out the numbers. 2,154. That's when I learned it's not and, you know, where you don't put that till the... It's like, mm-hmm. it's not 2005. It's 2005.
Yeah, and then you put the and, mm-hmm. and then the sense. Mm-hmm. Did not know that. But I write checks every day now at my job, so I know how to write a check. But thanks, Mom.
I think the biggest one, too, is like parents, I think they have to understand is a lot of this gap between what you're thinking they're learning at school and what they're learning. One, being so removed because you're working all the fucking time. That was my mom's thing. Mm-hmm. But two... you need to put that on yourself as the adult. And that's hard when you're blind leading the blind, mm-hmm. right? Where you're like, fuck, I'm the one that needs to teach them how to do this, but you don't know what you don't know, right? So I think that's the hard part is kind of a real talk Sunday for parents out there. Like, this is a huge thing and you're doing your kids a big disservice, not getting yourself help and them help, because fuck, this is top of mind for me all the time where I'm like, fuck, if my kids have this type of fear mm-hmm. towards money or this type of abuse towards money. But I think my dad has literally been making me mow lawns with him since I was like 9-10 years old, since I could push a lawnmower, and I was running commercial lawnmowers at 11. Mm-hmm. And I remember not being on paper for the longest, like writing my dad up right now, until I was about 14-15. And that's the thing is every 2 weeks getting a $600-$800 check.
Oh, damn, you were rolling.
And
it.
Yeah, we were working full time. There's fucking 12-15 hour days. Like, and he would sometimes work me part time just because I was a kid and it was a lot and there was really fucking hot days. And but yeah, I would make several $100s, and not one time was he like, all right, give me 20% of that. I'm gonna go put it away. Give me 30% of that. Bitch, you don't have any book. Give me all of that. I'm gonna go put it away for you. Here's $30. Go fucking buy some Dairy Queen with your friends. Like, no. None of that. Mm. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, I don't even know where all that money fucking went. Didn't go to buy my first car. My mom bought me my first car. Like, I don't know where any of that money went. And then I asked him later. I said, Dad, when I was younger, why didn't you tell me about saving stuff? And he goes, oh, you're just a kid. And I was like, yeah. Like, I think that's when you're supposed to teach me about it. He's like, oh, like you would have listened? Bitch, maybe. Like,
you made me.
You want to try? Yeah, if you would have made me. You made me work. Mm-hmm. You made me get my fucking ass up at 6 o'clock in the morning to mow lawns. You think you would make me put away 30%? Like, come on, man.
Do you think that's why you're built how you are from, like, using commercial?
I mean, I think that helps.
Lawnmowers at 9?
Did you see my arms in some of my senior pictures?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I was shredded. But yeah, those grates, dude, when those grass grates are full that was and you're dumping those grates. Yeah, I'm sure, now that I think back on it, probably.
They're like, no, she's stacked. Oh, she mows lawns. Yeah, for sure. Dad makes her mow lawns.
She's broken. She mows lawns.
She's just broken. That's the fucking crazy thing that blew my mind.
That's
thanks,
crazy
Dad.
That you got that amount of money at that age.
Yeah.
And
all the time. Yeah, and sounds... I remember going to an actual indoor job. I mean, my first job was at Yenching. It was next to the Edwards 21 Theater. Mm-hmm. It was a Chinese restaurant. And I remember working. I got my first fucking check. And I was like, I'm sorry, fucking what now?
Yeah.
Huh?
Who's FAFSA?
No.
Or what is
yeah,
it?
Yeah. I'm there. What? Yes. I'm sorry. What is this? And I just remember it being chump change to what I was making on my dad because we were,
Never mind. I'm going to move on.
Yeah. It's like, damn, do I do this or do that? But thanks, Dad. Just, and not to mention, fucking, how much was he really paying me? Like, I'm mad about it now. It's probably like $425 and I'm still making all this money. 75 hours later,
Kat,
making $600.
Is there anything your amazing dad didn't teach you?
No.
That you're embarrassed about and you're
God
like, oh my
damn
God.
It. We got the wrong parents.
Don't say that. That hurts their feelings.
No, I don't know. My
I'm
dad
kidding.
Is pretty great when it came to that stuff. I don't know.
My dad tells me what to do with my money now, but too late.
What my dad used to tell me, I would roll my eyes. And now that I'm older... and I know a little bit more, I just roll my eyes at myself because I'm like, God, I'm my spitting image of my dad. Like, what? I say the things that he said to me as a
frugal cat.
Yes, frugal.
I think another one I had too is like, oh, my mom still makes fun of me about this one. So I got my first checking account and it was with US Bank. And I used to have like US Bank and Washington Mutual before they were, before WAMU became something else, or before it came WAMU. Anyways, and we didn't have online banking and like apps when I first got, so you had to call in to check your balance. Mm-hmm. And I remember I would always overdraft my fucking account because I would put, you know, it'd be like $250 in there, and then I'd go spend some shit, and then I would call, and all those transactions hadn't registered, but when I called, it still said I had like $170 bucks left. So I'd be like, fuck yeah. And I would go spend all that money, and then ka-bing, ka-bing, and I get hit with overdraft, and I call my mom, I'd be like, Mom, and she'd be like, bitch, I don't know how. Okay, so when you have $200 and you spend $170, you have $30. If you have $200 and you spend $170 and you call and your bank still says you have $200, bitch, you don't have $200. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but the checking with the calls and they, I don't know. I can't tell you still to this day how much money I've spent in overdraft fees. I can the year that I did Budget Mom, and it was a lot, but like, just $30 here, $35 there, $5 continual, $5 continual. I overdrafted every week, every fucking week, all the fucking time. And I just call my mom. Mom, oh, help me, please. And she'd give me $20 so I could cover it before midnight.
Yeah, it was like the game of to get it in the ATM.
In the ATM. Yep. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mom. Appreciate you. But that was for covering me still to this day.
Thanks, Mom, for always covering my overdraft fees when we were young.
For sure. For sure. I feel for those of y'all like don't have that. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. But that bitch saved me. And also like learning about her trauma with money. Like she had a real moment with me. She's always got me. Mm-hmm. And like that's hard. I don't do it that. My dad's a fucking bookie. Here's a thanks, Dad. One time I borrowed money from my dad.
Oh, man.
I think I borrowed like $200, $250, something like that. And he goes, all right, when are you going to pay me back? And I was like, oh, I'll get paid like next week this time. And he was like, okay. And a week goes by and I'm passed the fuck out. It's like a Friday morning or some shit. I get paid. I was like, I get paid on Friday or whatever. I get a fucking knock at my door like the goddamn police. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm fucking buck ass. And I walk out with a towel. I look through it. It's my fucking dad. And I was like, what the fuck? I open the door and I'm like, Dad, what? He goes, you got my money? And I was like, what? I was like, no. I mean, I got paid, but like, I haven't gone to the bank. He goes, it's all right. I'll have to be work for another hour. I can wait. Motherfucker made me drive my ass down to the ATM to get him his money. That's one of the last times I borrowed money from my dad. And I took a business from that man. Like, he gave me his business. Oh, my God. It was the worst fucking experience, dude.
So interesting.
Oh, my God. A goddamn bookie. I don't call that fool. And so that's the hard part is like.
Boundaries,
every
man.
Time I call, I would. There's been several times where I've called my dad for money. He'd be like, nope, can't help you. And I'm like, all right. I call my mom. She goes, you know. $20. Here you go, Panda. Thank you so much.
Hidden in a book.
When I'm famous, you're the first bitch I take care of, okay? She's like, I know, honey, whatever that means. Panda be famous. But I think that's been the biggest one. Like, thanks, Dad. Like, Mom, we don't borrow money. We don't do that. But my mom, every time, and she just remembers saying, like, she goes, my mom, my Nana, used to make me feel so fucking bad about money. She was like, every time my Nana made my mom pay her rent.
Yeah.
When she was grown up, not at 18, younger.
Before?
Bitch, savage.
When she was a minor?
Oh, we should have a whole episode on this lady. She was savage.
Oh, no.
My Nana was savage, dude. When it came to money, she didn't fuck around.
Was your mom working? Like, could she pay the rent?
She would give her every money she had. She was rich. Yeah, she had little side jobs. She was also a model. She would model and just do a lot of little things. But she's like, I had to pay your Nana money. Absolutely. Anything I ate, did, anything was out of my own pocket, had to do, and all of my aunt and my uncles. And that was a big thing. And she goes, and I will die before I ever make you feel like that. She goes, I literally would never ask my mom. If I asked my mom for money, I would never stop hearing about it. And she goes, and I would never do that to you. And that was a big goal when I became a mom, was to never make you feel that way. And I'm like, oh, Mom, this is some generational shit, dude. I got to get better about money. Because I know Dahlia's going to call me and be like, bitch, I'm sorry, I'm broke.
But you're in Tahiti. Yeah, it's not my money, baby. I'm sorry. What have I taught you?
Start an OF, girl. I don't know what to tell you. Fuck.
I just realized what OF was.
Those girls making money. But yeah, anyways, as far as, you know, that goes, we won't dive into anything what's happened real hot in the economy right now, although I really, really want to.
That's a whole.
We're not going to go dark. We're going to keep everyone's anxiety level to a minimum today. But I mean, as far as like the shift in the economy, just, yeah, keep your ears out, eyes out, educate yourself up. But any last minute, like, words of wisdom, things we should not be doing?
Don't be embarrassed, but start now.
Don't be embarrassed.
$20 is $20 saved. So start little. And then work your way up. Pay off your debt,
so
though.
So inspirational.
Pay off debt. If you have collections, work on those one at a time. Don't pay multiples. Work on one at a time. Mm. Pay it off.
That's a good tip for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, like snowball versus avalanche kind of vibe.
I mean, this is just my opinion. Don't focus too much on your medical collections. Focus on the real collections. If you have a small one, work on that one first. Roll it over into the next one. Snowball. But $20 saved each week, easy. Mm-hmm. And then bump it up. Get yourself a piggy bank that you can't open up. Mm. Put it in there. Don't smash
that
it.
That might be something that I don't know,
because it's out of sight, out of mind.
Amanda's going to take the piggy bank.
Yeah, she's like crashing it. She's going to send me a picture of it like on the floor.
I tried. I made it 8 days. Yeah.
But really, no, just McDonald's.
Just start
that's
now.
That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I need to get something like that. Mm-hmm. You know who probably has that? Amazon.
No. Oh, fuck.
What do they not have?
Contribute to that conglomerate. Let's do it. I can make you a piggy bank, Mel.
Shut the fuck up. No, you can't.
I can make you something.
Can you make
break.
This that we bought from Amazon?
No.
$30?
Give me some duct tape. Some PVC pipe. But no, thank you so much for joining us. Yes. Stay tuned for next Sunday. Thank you so much for your knowledge, your input. Yeah, where were you like 10 years ago?
Yeah, you know? Well, I was with you guys spending money on Vegas trips.
We were doing some stupid shit.
Yeah. Oh my Everything God. Goes to Vegas, you know?
Really, yeah. That's right. I bought a pair of Jimmy Choo's. You know, I bought those Jimmy Choo's for like $750. You know, I sold them for like $250.
Yep.
I wore them like maybe 4 or 5 times. Mm-hmm. But then I had kids, my feet swole. So I just sold them. Really, really sad. That's what I was doing with my money in my 20s. I was buying stupid ass shit. I don't fucking know. But we were in Vegas. So yeah, I do remember that trip vividly. But thank you guys so much for joining us and listening in. If you guys have, you know, any 2 cents or insider trading secrets, I mean insider secrets on your money. But yeah, DM us, email us, let us know what's going on. We always like to learn. But today's musical artist, too, this is song is one of my personal favorite and fits this theme. If you listen to the lyrics, this song is called Fire in My Bones by Kupex and Yusuf Alev, featuring Asai. E-S-E-A. I can't remember how to say that. But enjoy it. It's for those club girls out there who like a mts in their life. But enjoy the listen and have a wonderful Sunday. I'm a breath held for many years, hidden in the stacks behind my fears. Time to rewind and rewrite the present. I'll wrap it up tonight. Under lights, all these pretty boys, are they turning into models? I'm a bad girl, but a good story where I go. Got nothing in my pockets, but everything to show. I'm a bad girl, but a good story where I go. Got my lashes and my I'm a bad girl, but a good story.
I'm a, 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 I'm